Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you. When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to The Deep Dive, your shortcut to really understanding what's going on.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Sift through news, research, podcasts, you name it, and pull out the key insights for you. Today, we are diving headfirst into the world of global football, or soccer, as many know it. And our main source for this is the latest episode of a really great podcast called Show Up and Play, the Black Mambas of Football and Soccer. It's created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer up in Canada, but also a really passionate soccer dad and coach. This specific episode covered the week from July 20th to July 27th, 2025. Oh, and Etienne included a little reminder in his show, which we'll echo. If you like this kind of detailed look, do check out Show Up and Play on Apple Podcasts. Give him a like and subscribe. And speaking of support, we want to keep The Deep Dive completely ad-free for you. So if you find value in what we do, please consider a small donation. There's a link right there in our show notes. Honestly, every little bit helps us keep this going without any interruptions.
It really has been quite a week, hasn't it? Between July 20th and 27th.
Yeah.
Just massive news. Big transfers, injury blows, upcoming finals. It really highlights how everything in football is, well, connected.
Yeah.
Events in one league ripple out everywhere else.
Yeah, that interconnectedness is exactly what we want to unpack today.
Global headlines, the week's top football stories.
Okay, let's kick things off with arguably the biggest news. The transfer of the summer, maybe. Liverpool finally made it official. Florian Wirtz from Bayer Leverkusen.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers are just...
Wow.
A reported club record, £130 million. That makes him one of the most expensive players ever in the Premier League.
Yeah.
That's more than just buying a player, right? It's a statement.
Oh, absolutely. A huge statement. Look, signing Wirtz for that kind of money, it does a couple of things. For Liverpool, it shows massive ambition, obviously. But for the market, it kind of resets the benchmark for elite young talent. Well, you're potentially forcing other top clubs across Europe to think, okay, if we want a player like Wirtz, this is the new price range. It could inflate values or maybe make some clubs hesitate. It definitely reshapes the landscape for players who aren't even, you know, at their absolute peak yet. Liverpool are basically saying this is the cost of future dominance.
Right. Big gamble, but potentially huge reward.
Mm.
Meanwhile, not such great news for Real Madrid.
No.
Their star midfielder, Jude Bellingham,
mm.
He's had shoulder surgery. Concerned. and he's expected to be out for about 3 months.
Yeah, that's rough.
Just seeing the start of the La Liga season.
Yeah.
That's gotta hurt their plans significantly.
It really does. It's not just losing Bellingham the player, though his individual talent is immense. It's how central he was becoming to their midfield structure. Ancelotti now has a real tactical headache.
Mm-hmm.
Losing that kind of engine for 3 months right at the start, it could disrupt their whole rhythm, their ability to control games early on. It forces a rethink, definitely. Big challenge for them.
Okay, shifting to their rivals, Barcelona. Some positive news? Or maybe bold news.
Mm-hmm.
They've given the iconic number 10 jersey to 18-year-old Lamine Yamal.
Wow.
Yeah. The shirt worn by Messi, Ronaldinho. Legends. It's a massive vote of confidence, surely, but
whoa.
Wow. The
pressure. Huge pressure. It's fascinating, isn't it? On one hand, it's Barcelona doubling down on La Masia, their youth system, saying this is our future right here. Symbolically massive.
Right.
Practically. You're putting immense expectation on very, very young shoulders. Talent isn't the question with Yamal. It's the mental side. Can he handle that weight? Can the club protect him? It's a gamble, but a very Barcelona gamble, you know? Dressing the youth. As a soccer dad myself, you always worry a little about that kind of pressure too soon.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch how he handles it. Okay, yeah. And rounding out the big headlines, the UEFA Women's Euro 2025 final. It's set for Sunday, July 27th, Spain versus England.
The big one.
Huge game. And it's a rematch of the 2023 World Cup final, right?
Exactly, which adds another layer entirely. This isn't just a final. It's a tactical storyline continuing. Spain's possession game versus England's more direct clinical approach, perhaps.
Right.
Both teams have evolved since that World Cup. It really showcases the incredible growth and depth in the women's game. Higher profile, bigger audiences. It's just fantastic to see. A must watch, for sure.
European League updates. A closer look.
Okay, let's zoom in a bit on the major European leagues. Premier League, obviously, the Wirt signing is dominating the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Still buzzing.
But preseason's also giving us some clues. Saw Manchester United beat Arsenal 2-1 out in Los Angeles. United featured their big new signing at the back, Lenny Yoro.
Right.
How much stock should we put in these preseason games? Do they tell us much?
Well, you know, you don't read too much into the scoreline itself, maybe. But tactically, you can pick things up. Seeing Yoro in that United defense, how did he fit in? Was he playing out from the back? How did he handle Arsenal's forwards?
Yeah. And for Arsenal, conceding two, maybe it raises little flags about their defensive setup against quick transitions, even in a friendly. Managers use these games to experiment. So yeah, they offer glimpses, definitely. Clues about intentions.
Makes sense. All right, over to La Liga. We mentioned Bellingham's injury impacting Real Madrid. What else is happening as the window starts to think about closing? Sounds like Atletico Madrid and Real Sociedad are still busy.
Yeah, typically at this stage in Spain, for clubs outside the absolute top tier financially, it's often about smart moves, maybe needing to sell a player to free up funds for one or two crucial signings.
Right, the sell-to-buy model.
Exactly. Atletico and La Real, they'll be looking for value. Experienced players, maybe loans with an option to buy, trying to find that midfielder or defender who can give them an edge in the European race without, you know, breaking the bank. It's a careful balancing act.
And the Bundesliga. Wirtz leaving Leverkusen is the massive story there. How on earth do they replace him? You can't just conjure up another Florian Wirtz.
No, you really can't. It's not about a like-for-like replacement, probably. It's more likely they'll need a strategic shift.
Like what?
Maybe spreading his creative duties. Perhaps using wingbacks more offensively or tweaking the midfield structure. Could even open the door for a younger player already at the club. It's a huge challenge, no doubt, but sometimes losing a star player forces tactical innovation. They'll have to adapt.
Adapt or fall behind, I guess. Okay, Italy. Serie A dropped its fixtures for the 2025-26 season. And the opening weekend, August 23rd, bam, Inter Milan versus Juventus.
It doesn't get much bigger to start.
Right. The Derby d'Italia on day one. What does that signify?
It just sets the tone immediately, doesn't it?
Yeah.
High stakes from the first whistle. For both Inter and Juve, getting an early psychological edge over a main title rival is huge. It says, we're serious right now. Tells the fans, the Scudetto race is on from minute one. Intense.
Yeah, no easing into the season there. Finally, League One in France. Still feels like PSG and everyone else trying to catch up.
That's often the narrative, yeah.
But AS Monaco and Olympique de Marseille, they've made moves. Both announced new defensive signings this week. Is bolstering the back line the key to challenging PSG?
It's certainly a key part of it. Look, Competing with PSG's resources is incredibly tough. So for clubs like Monaco and Marseille, becoming defensively solid, really hard to beat, is almost step one.
Makes sense. Build from the back.
Exactly. It might not give them the same attacking flair instantly,
yeah.
But if you can frustrate PSG, grind out results, maybe nick a point or three, it's about building resilience first. It's a pragmatic strategy, really, born out of necessity against that kind of financial power.
Right. Pragmatism versus power. Hey, just a quick reminder, if you appreciate us digging into these details and keeping things ad-free, that donation link is in the show notes. Every contribution helps us keep doing just that.
Around the world, Global Football Pulse.
Okay, let's broaden out. MLS is heading into its final third. Always dramatic. The LA Galaxy got a big win against Seattle Sounders this week, keeping their playoff hopes alive out west.
Yeah, the MLS stretch run is always exciting.
What makes it so intense compared to European leagues? Is it just the playoff format?
The playoff structure is definitely the key difference, yeah. It's not just about finishing top. It's about getting into that knockout tournament. So every game down the stretch feels like it has massive implications for simply making the playoffs, let alone seeding or home field advantage.
Right.
That Galaxy win over Seattle, that could be the difference between playing postseason football or going home early. The stakes feel incredibly high week in, week out.
Gotcha. Okay, let's head down to South America. Brazil first. The Brazil around title race is super tight, as usual. Flamengo scored late to stay level with Palmeiras.
Yeah, the Brazil around, it's just relentless, isn't it? So competitive, so unpredictable.
Definitely.
That Flamengo late winner, it's typical of the league. You need that kind of resilience, that ability to grind out points, because the title race often goes right down to the final day. Every single point feels earned.
And next door in Argentina, more unpredictability. Boca Juniors, one of the giants, lost surprisingly this weekend, shakes things up at the top.
It really does. And that's kind of the beauty, or maybe the frustration, of the Argentine Primera Division.
Yeah.
Upsets happen. There's a lot of parity. Even if Boca and River are the traditional powerhouses.
Right.
It means the league table can shift quickly. Keeps things interesting. For sure, shows the depth and competitiveness across the league.
Okay, Mexico now. Club America won the Campeón de Campeones recently, and now they're reportedly looking at a star player from Brazil to strengthen for the Apertura.
Yeah, that highlights another interesting dynamic, the player flow between these major leagues in the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
Club America is a powerhouse in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and they're clearly looking to maintain that by tapping into the talent pool in Brazil. It shows ambition, strengthens their squad, and sends a message to Liga MX rivals. It's smart recruitment, looking across the continent.
And we can't talk global football without mentioning the Saudi Pro League. Still making waves. Sounds like Al Nassr are close to signing a veteran defender from a top Premier League club.
Yep. The push continues. We don't have the name yet, but it's another sign of their influence.
What's the bigger picture impact of these moves, do you think?
Well, it's multifaceted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huge money for players, obviously. Profile boost for the league. But it also impacts the selling clubs in Europe. They get big fees but lose key players. And it shifts the global transfer market dynamics. European clubs now have this major competitor for talent, forcing them to perhaps pay more to keep players or adapt their strategies. It's a significant power shift, no doubt.
Okay, and finally for this segment, Africa. Big news. The Africa Cup of Nations, AFCON, is officially set for December 2025 to January 2026.
Great news to have the dates locked in.
And in preparation, teams like Nigeria, Egypt, Morocco announced important friendly matches this week, gearing up for fall qualifiers.
Absolutely crucial. AFCON is massive, the pinnacle for African national teams. These friendlies aren't just kickabouts, they're vital for preparation. Coaches use them to test tactics, look at new players, build team cohesion. All essential before the pressure of qualification matches ramps up. You need that preparation time to compete effectively for a spot in such a tough tournament. As a coach, I know how valuable those friendly fixtures are.
Road to World Cup 2026, the global stage.
All right, let's look ahead just a bit. The road to the World Cup in North America 2026. It's getting closer. CONMEBOL qualifiers are back in September.
Crunch time approaching.
Yeah, Brazil and Argentina will want to solidify their spots at the top. But for teams like, say, Colombia, Ecuador, those middle-of-the-pack teams, these are becoming must-win games.
Absolutely. The pressure is definitely building across South America. And it's interesting how everything connects back, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, think about club form versus international duty. A player like Wirtz gets a huge move. Does that boost his confidence for Germany? Or does the pressure affect him? Bellingham's injury, How does England adapt without him for upcoming games, even if they're just friendlies initially?
Ah, right. The ripple effect.
Yes, exactly. Transfers, injuries, club performances. It all feeds into the national team picture. Coaches are constantly evaluating, adapting based on what's happening week to week at the club level. It all plays into who eventually gets on that plane to the World Cup. It's a complex, ongoing calculation.
Yeah,
outro.
Wow. That's a snapshot of just 1 week in global football. Incredible how much ground we covered, from record transfers in England to title races in Brazil, playoff pushes in MLS, and looking ahead to AFCON and the World Cup.
It really is a global game, moving faster than ever.
So interconnected. More than just results, isn't it? It's this whole ecosystem.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on from all this. What strikes me is how rapidly things are changing and how clubs and leagues are forced to adapt. Think about the sheer financial power shifts we're seeing. That Wirtz transfer, how does $130 million for one young player really change the competitive balance, not just for Liverpool, but across multiple leagues? And what does it say about player loyalty or career paths when these huge moves or significant injuries like Bellingham's happen? Every event sends these ripples out.
Yeah.
It affects clubs, leagues, national teams. It's this constantly moving, intricate web, something to keep considering as you follow the beautiful game.
Definitely a lot to think about there. The beautiful game, always evolving. Well, thank you for joining us for this edition of The Deep Dive. We hope we've given you some good insights and maybe connected a few dots from the week's football news. Keep exploring, keep asking questions. We'll catch you on the next one. And one last time, if you'd like to help us keep bringing you this kind of analysis ad-free, please do check out the donation link in the show notes. Thanks again for listening.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.